and welcome. Formula One is back, and so is your midweek fix of all things F1. This is the Essential F1 Podcast, and we would love it if you could hit that bell and follow us wherever you get your podcast. So, tech.
Tech-wise.
Tech. We need to roll up our sleeves now, okay, and tackle all the technical issues. And most importantly, you need to guide us, the fans at home, as to how we can watch this with some knowledge.
Yeah, that's going to be intriguing, actually. That is, I won't be commentating on the first race. That'd be quite good. I'll be able to sit back and watch what comes up. Because some of these different marks that come up on both on the cars themselves and also on the texts and everything to show us when they're on boost as one of the, you know, and we shall see whether that's going to happen. And of course, I love one of the things, that these flipping wings.
Yes.
Flipping wings. And we saw that Ferrari. I was going to say, actually, about Ferrari, we hadn't mentioned earlier, that complete 180-degree turn of the rear wing. Because now, just to remind everybody, that the wings all go to no downforce when they're down the straights, and that will happen all the time. That is part of this new rules. And the way Ferrari did that was great to see in testing. But, of course, on the technical side, it's so much more about the power units, isn't it, really? And whether they're going to make that work, because there is concern that they're not going to be able to run flat out all the way, or even in qualifying. That's what worries me a little bit, is can you not run flat out for one lap in qualifying?
Yeah, I mean, so many unknowns, track specific, that might be as well, for sure. I mean, Bahrain is a track where you've got plenty of opportunities to recharge because of the high braking zones. Look, I think that's one of the best things about the start of a new regulation cycle, because the teams haven't had a chance to all converge on basically the exact same design, which is what we had last year in 2025. You've got all these different, you know, Ferrari with a spinning, like that might not even be legal. They run it for like, I think, one session. We'll see if it works out, because I think a DRS has to fail shut. And it's not DRS anymore, it's active aero, isn't it? But we'll get onto that. And yeah, I think that is the, you look at the Aston, it's so aggressive aerodynamically. You look at all of these cars look so different. And that's something that I think we should all kind of enjoy, because it won't be like that.
No.
It come like 2028, where these cars, they'll
be all right, similar.
This is actually the way to do it.
You
and
have
then
to
they'll
do
all
that,
diverge
yeah.
into that direction. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to get into. It's complicated, and like you say, Ben, I'm fascinated to see how much is broadcast and how much needs to be broadcast and how much is helpful to the average fan as well. But we will do our best to give you all the information you need.
Yeah.
Well, for starters, right, when I'm looking at the car on the telly, what are the visual things that I will be seeing at what point around a track? Can anyone guide me through that?
Wants to take this.
Well, it's just that they've got these different displays. There are on the halo heads, they'll be displayed on board the overtake mode. When a driver behind another driver, it has to be within a second for the overtake mode, because they have a boost system as well. But that's a slightly separate, different thing, depending on the amount of energy you've got. But the overtake mode is when you get that extra power, that extra electric power, that allows you to try and have a go. But it depends if you've got enough left, because that's going to be a bit of a challenge, I think. And we think that there will be a data channel coming up to help the commentators actually say, right, this is what's going on right now with this car. So that will be part and parcel of it. But we're all going to have to learn it. And that's all part of the fun of watching Formula One.
Yeah.
Is under new rules.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
Okay, oh, I see. Now we're learning. You know.
Yeah, I think I've tried my best to kind of really understand what the changes are and what we had in the last regulation cycle. So the active aero doesn't... We're going to see it as fans, seeing the front and rear wing, and then just the front wing when it's wet.
And what will the front wing
reasons.
Be doing?
So... Opening up. So the cars lowers the drag of the car, which means the car is more efficient, but it's not a performance differentiator. Everyone gets access to it at the same points of the lap.
And we'll be able to see it almost like a DRS, but on the front, on the front end.
The letterbox will open.
Great.
And again, like you've got the Alpine and the Audis there, their rear wing more drops down rather than flipping up. Obviously Ferrari, again, that full, you know, 180.
So the Ferrari thing is like a roller deck system.
Yeah.
it's like,
and it has to do it within a certain pace. They have to do it within a certain...
Because it has to be 0.4 of a second.
That's right.
It's like 0.3 something.
But
so
there's
quite
there's
close.
A point with the Ferrari rear wing that flips, that it's at maximum downforce.
Yes.
So that's a real benefit. Even if it might be a point, you know, one of a second across a lap and across a race, that's going to be quite a good.
And they will have crunched the numbers from testing and been like, right, is this going to be worth putting in the car? Are there more? Is it more potential for failure as well? Like, they've got to consider these things. DRS has to fail shut. So
when you say fail shut,
I keep calling it DRS, by the way. So if it fails,
if it gets broken,
if something goes wrong with the mechanism, it has to be in the closed position.
Okay,
when it fails,
and that's because if it was in the open position, you would be recuperating loads of energy and it's not going as fast as you can.
Say it's in the wet, you know, the rear wing is going to stay in
that's not allowed to flick open in the wet, is it?
Yes.
But the front is still.
But so the active aero is a visual thing, but everyone's going to get access to it at the same time. So it's not a performance differentiator. So that doesn't really need too much focus.
Can I just ask, are there certain areas on the track where that front and rear flap can open and close?
Essentially,
they're set
basically
points.
Whenever you're in a straight line.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And mostly the same areas where DRS was last year. I think maybe they've changed a few with some of the track, but we'll see that on a track by track basis. So that doesn't need too much focus. In terms of the boost mode.
Right. Yeah. Hang on a minute.
Go on.
So then we've got the engine, right?
Yes,
so they've roughly got 1,000 horsepower, okay?
Yeah.
And you've got a boost mode and an overtake mode. Is there any point where you're going to get 1,050 horsepower, or are you always going to be playing with that 1,000 horsepower?
Well, so these engines are energy starved. I think that's kind of the way of putting it, where drivers are going to need to manage. It's not like there's just abundance of electrical power that they can always just lean on. Like, if you use, say, your overtake and boost loads on a few laps, you're going to have to recover that energy somehow. So that's going to be really interesting to see how much these cars are actually able to use it lap after lap after lap, or are they going to have to be harvested? We saw that with the last generation, where you'd see the flashing lights at the back when cars are harvesting energy to let the car behind know I'm going a bit slower than I would typically because I'm harvesting energy. So that, again, there's so many unknowns that remains to be seen. But yeah, you have the boost mode is kind of similar to the ERS last year. So drivers had ERS, energy recovery system, they could deploy essentially when they wanted to attack and defend, but it wasn't really shown in the broadcast. Like, you wouldn't see, like, on when they added graphics, and they might occasionally have it, but it wasn't in the tower. It wasn't something you could see visually. The good thing with DRS is you could see it opening and closing.
Yes, very obvious.
And we'll get on to overtake. With overtake and with any electrical stuff, it's not as visually.
Yeah.
They're going to have some lights going on, but it's not going to be quite as visual as it was before.
But there is that ceiling of this is your horsepower, and you, it's up to you then how you use it. You don't get like an extra secret squirrel stash of GGs down
unless
the back of the seat.
You get access to a little bit extra
if you're within a second. Yes,
if you do get access to a bit more than 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. If you're within a second. Like extra. And what is that
But
called?
Then you've also got to be able to recharge your battery using that extra energy.
Exactly.
So it's a bit of a balance. You might be able to get past a car using it, but then on that following lap, you may not have the energy and they may just come back straight back past you. So that is something we're going to have to keep an eye on. Yeah.
And this is why I said earlier that McLaren not having a Mercedes engine, like not being a works team and understanding the battery mechanisms, this is why I think Ferrari and Mercedes works teams are possibly going to have a bit of an advantage at the start of the year because they've had more time to really understand the nuances of these systems. And also, it's going to vary so much track to track as well. Because, I mean, you know, Monza, there's not very many opportunities at Monza to harvest, and there's a lot of straight lines.
Yeah.
So how do you use the limited energy that you have? And this is part of, you know, Max's, I think, disdain towards these rules is that, you know, you're faffing about with all this stuff and it isn't just like pure racing, right?
Yeah.
And that's the balance.
I still need to drill down a little bit more, if I may.
Let's do the difference, please,
between boost and overtake, and treat me like the idiot that I am, please.
Shall I take that one, Ben?
Yeah, go on.
Right. So, so boost is available at all times, whereas overtake is only when you're within a second at the start of a lap. But you get it for the whole lap.
And that's triggered on the start line.
There'll be a detection point. In the same way that the last DRS detection point, say at Bahrain, is just before you cross the start finish line.
And you will have that one full lap.
You will have the ability to access that. I think it's half a megajoule of extra energy that you can deploy relative, but the car you're attacking, they can still use their boost. So you might be using your overtake and your boost at the same time, but they can still use their boost.
I'm so sorry to keep going on about this, but I don't think that you're going to be able to answer, or anyone can answer, what is the difference in megajoules or joules or mega joules between boost and overtake?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about the same, but honestly, I don't, like, this is the problem, right? The fact that three highly educated...
Two.
...individuals... And it's, these rules were brought in to appease manufacturers at a time where electrification was massively, it was the thing, the big thing, the future, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, now time's gone on, things have changed a little bit, and it feels like these rules have been created for bureaucracy, more so for racing. And we've got to a stage where we're going into the first race this weekend and there's still so far too many unknowns, like not even how these things are going to work, because it is technical, it's complicated, F1's always been complicated, but also how it's going to be communicated to the fans, right? And this is a sport where F1's done so much to appeal to a broader fan base, a lot more casual, as any sport growing should do. If we're struggling to understand the nuances and discuss it, then what is the average F1 fan? What chance have they got? You know, that's what I'm struggling with.
No, I agree. It is all new, and it's but then that's part of the fun in a way, is getting into a whole new system and trying to work out what it is. And we will pick up on it going into these first few races, but it is something you've got to learn. So it'll be great.
I think for the drivers as well, I'm putting my driving hat on, I think it is going to be, you know, really difficult for those in the cockpit to worry or think about, you know, regenerating, attacking, boosting, you know, overtaking, all of that. And then, oh, crikey, I've got a race to run. I've got to, you know, get that to... I've got to get into the corner before somebody else.
Yeah.
Which driver do you think has got the mental capacity to cope best with that?
I mean, science stands out to me, I would say.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say, I don't know, as much as Fernando has so much capacity, because he is of that different generation, managing the battery, would it come naturally to him? I'm not so sure. Carlos Sainz, just straight away for me. I think he's the one who's really going to shine in these regs.
And I think, although Max Verstappen has been complaining a little bit about this system and saying it's not necessarily his ideal, I think he has the intelligence in him, because he's such a natural driver.
Yeah.
There is a part of his brain that can just work on, okay, what do I need to do? And the way, you know, you get some of those drivers, I mean, Lewis has done it in the past as well, where we know they're aware on lots of other things while they're driving absolutely flat out. And that's the real top-level talent, where they're so fast and yet they've got spare brain to think about, right, what needs to be done next? How do I do this? Who's doing that? You know, that's so important.
Any of the youngsters got that capacity, do you think?
I mean, you would think so, right? You know, the simulator generation.
That does help.
And, you know, the F1 game that has all ERS battery management built into it. And fundamentally, that's going to be, I mean, less foreign to these younger drivers spinning those plates and having their kind of younger brains understand what's going on and maximise it. I guess I would say as well, Vicky, obviously you're representing the racing drivers in the room. Part of me is like, look, as long as the spectacle looks great, if the drivers don't love it, I don't really care. like, I'm sorry, you're living the dream.
I know.
24 races flying around the world. And if you don't quite love the cars and they're quite as pure racing, like, sorry, but if the racing's good, that's for me what it has to come down to, right? That's what's going to keep the fans interested.
And that's going to be interesting. And especially as we now look forward to the next first race for 2026.
Mm. Exactly.
Because going to Melbourne, overtaking at Melbourne is not the easiest anyway, as we've seen in many, many years. Yes, you can overtake. Mm-hmm. There are a few places, but it's not easy. And there is quite a lot of concern about the energy that you're going to be able to pick back up through the electrical side of these cars around the Melbourne circuit, because there are not that many braking areas, heavy braking areas, where you're going to be able to recharge the battery so much. So it's going to be interesting going into this race, and we've got to start thinking about it as well. So, what do we think about how this is going to work for our first race of the year?
Oh, God. I mean,
what do you think the start's going to look like?
You know what? I don't think the start's going to be too bad.
Okay.
Actually, I feel quite optimistic about the start procedure. They changed. They added 5 seconds to the gap between the last car getting on and then the lights coming on to give everyone a chance to
spin the turbo,
rev it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I'm not so, because they've already kind of enacted a solution to that. But yeah, I would say over the race distance, I think we're going to see some big field spreads, right? We got used to a very close field spread in 2025, even in the races, like especially quality, but even in the races. But yeah, I think we could see some cars being three, four laps behind. That's that's more what I think. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's out of the question.
You're not talking about Aston Martin again, are you? Maybe. Who knows? They were struggling.
You will never know.
We will know after this weekend. We will. And we'll be talking about it.